bread is coming. The thinkers of Castle Road.
This is Comics Catch Up. Comics suggested by you, the listeners of War Rocket Ajax, that we have missed. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comics Catch Up. My name is Matt Wilson.
Or Chris, is it?
Oh, Chris Sims is here with me.
Or am I?
Or is that his name? And we're tipping our hand here. This is a show where we read comics that we missed in the many years of comics that we've been reading. Can't read everything, folks. And you tell us what we should catch up on. Then we catch up on it and we rank it on our giant Every Story Ever list, which has more than 1,000 stories on it now.
It does have more than 1,000 stories, Matt.
And we're going to add one more here this month on Comics Catch Up. For October, during this very spooky time, we have opted, even though the poll did not reflect it, I got some passionate requests for us to read the 2015 Image comic Nameless, a six-issue series by Grant Morrison, one of our all-time favorites, and Chris Burnham, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The collaborators on Batman Incorporated.
Yeah, they are.
Prior to that. And check that out. And Chris, I am very curious what you thought of Nameless, because you are a big Morrison guy.
It's very true.
Not a scary stories guy.
Don't like to be scared. Sometimes people like to be scared.
Yeah, certainly not a scary movie guy. You've said you can handle a scary comic because it's a different kind of deal from a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, scary stories in general, not your bag.
Not at all my bag. Before we get into the book, though, I do want to point out that this was suggested by a long time ago by Robert, who actually sent me a copy of Nameless in hardcover.
He sent us both copies of Nameless.
Yeah, which was very generous. And that was actually, I think, a bit ago. That was like back in 2017 that he actually sent it. And we've been meaning to do it since, but we've been running the poll. So thank you to Robert for sending that over and giving me the chance to read this. I will say, if you are going to read this, I do think the physical hardcover is probably the way to go. If for no other reason than it does have like a little bit of commentary from Morrison at the end, and it has a really neat element in the like inside front cover, I guess the like fronts piece is the weird like symbol, and then the inside back cover is that same symbol, but instead of being like drawn in whatever fluid it's drawn in on the cover, it's the like, you know, refined version of the symbol, which I thought was a really cool way to bookend the book. Book begin and bookend the book.
Yes, and the symbol is the symbol of Xibalba, the Mayan underworld, the Mayan afterlife, which we come to find out in the book is actually a real place on an asteroid that is hurtling toward Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that becomes sort of the crux of the story.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think that that commentary from Morrison that's in the back that not only explains sort of where the idea for this book came from, but also sort of what is actually happening in it is sort of completely necessary.
Yeah, it's much like the comparison piece to this is about as far from Batman Incorporated as it is possible to get. But I think the comparison, if you are a Morrison guy, as I am and as you are, Matt, is the Invisibles and almost like to a lesser extent the Filth, which I think are the Invisibles certainly is a book that virtually requires the companion book of annotations to deal with.
Yeah, I my first comparison point was to the Filth. One thing that I wanted to get into in this is how Grant Morrison is a study in contrasts.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Morrison, colon, a study in contrasts. And I want to say there are two Morrisons, but I feel like there's more like three Morrisons.
There's an infinite number of Morrisons throughout the multiverse, Matt.
That's at least 52. But I do think that it's interesting because in his book Super Gods,
mm-hmm.
he talks about a very concerted approach to comics, the comics he writes, and depending on the status of particular sunspots, he either writes very hopeful comic books or kind of darker, more sinister comic books, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a Morrison that's somewhere in the middle too. Cause there's a Morrison who does like kind of brighter superhero comics. There's the Morrison of JLA and I guess to a degree New X-Men, even though New X-Men's kind of dark in places. Certainly Batman, though it has its dark moments, but there's like kind of brighter Morrison superhero comics.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's the really dark stuff, like say The Filth or The Invisibles or Happy seems to probably fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of like a middle ground, like his Green Lantern run or something kind of weird and quirky like Sea Guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly on that far end of weird and dark.
Yes, very much so. Like it's not quite as nihilistic as it seems like it's gonna be by the time you get to the end. But it's certainly it's no Superman talking to Reagan on the ledge, you know?
Well, it really jumps around in the story where you as a reader. Oh, another middle ground I think is pretty much the entirety of Multiversity. I wanted to mention that.
This, where, I think, like edges up on like Ultra Comics.
Well, another point of comparison is definitely Ultra Comics, where so much of Ultra Comics is about making the reader question what it is they're even reading, you know, and their particular role in the story. Nameless doesn't quite do that, but it does make the reader doubt which parts of the book are real and which parts of the book are some imagined hellscape, you know?
Yes.
Because we're going back and forth between Nameless, who is the lead character of the book, who I will concede and will say I'm very happy to note is the most Scottish protagonist Grant Morrison has ever written. He's very Scottish.
Yeah. Like from jump, Matt.
Like, I don't think Morrison does self-insertion characters, because if he does that, he just puts himself in the fucking book.
Yeah, I mean, like King Mob.
Like King Mob.
Talking about Gideon Stargrave, yeah.
Or Grant Morrison as an Animal Man.
Yeah. He's not going to make a self-insert character. He's going to put on a fiction suit.
Yes, exactly. So I don't think Nameless is supposed to be him, but he is mega Scottish in the way he speaks.
Very, very much so.
But there are kind of three key different things that Nameless is doing throughout the book. There's a Nameless who's on Earth, who's kind of like dealing with the benefactors of this mission to the asteroid. There's Nameless on the mission to the asteroid. And then there's Nameless sort of caught in Jabalba being, you know, tortured and mutilated.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily know which of those is really happening. You don't necessarily know what the timeline is for these things, because seemingly Nameless on Earth seems to be happening after he goes to the asteroid, because he's trying to get answers about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all happening concurrently. And it's kind of, I think, intended to disorient you as a reader.
Very, very much so. I mean, Matt, if you want to know, like, my general impressions, here's something that might surprise you.
Okay.
I don't think this book's scary.
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, it's got, like, certainly, like, creepy and like, occasionally, like, genuinely horrifying imagery, which Chris Burnham fucking loves to draw. Like, if you know, if you have seen one drawing by Chris Burnham, statistically, you have seen one where, like, a limb or head is off.
Yeah, I think that Morrison and Burnham both sort of live up to their billing in this book.
Yeah.
Where Morrison is, like, as weird as people think Morrison is in his writing. And Burnham is as gross and macabre as people think Burnham is in his art.
Yeah, Burnham draws so many mutilated dicks.
Oh, for sure.
In this book. Which, Matt, no, did you read it in hardcover. Did you read the whole, like, little closing letter from Morrison in it?
I skimmed it. I didn't read it mega closely.
Okay.
But I skimmed it for some context for what was happening in the story, for sure.
I think it is, like, very interesting to note that, like, according to Morrison, like, the ultimate answer of this book is that dudes suck, and women should say, or should slash are going to save the world. So there's, unsurprisingly, that is reflected in the amount of mutilated dicks that I think get drawn in this comic.
I think that's true. I do think that I remember reading that in the letter and thinking that that is barely reflected in the text.
Barely reflected in the text. Like, I get it in retrospect, but I would not have gotten it had you not told me. And I don't know how anyone would get it from this book. Like, anyone who is not, like, achingly familiar with Grant Morrison would pick that up. Also, one of the reasons I didn't think it was scary, Matt, is I think it was incredibly silly in parts, especially when the creepy background stuff starts. And it's a really, really well staged scene. There's a part where somebody's in, like, a psychiatrist's office, which is always a fun setting for horror stuff, where, like, the pattern on the carpet starts, like, becoming eyes that are looking at the person, and, like, the, like, walls start ruffling like curtains, and then eventually, like, separating, and you can see the stuff that's going on behind it. But the stuff that's going on behind it is, like, literal clown faces. It's, like, literal goofy clown faces, which I think is, like, very, like, it's a little too silly to be creepy.
I have a similar feeling, but it's not necessarily about that. It's not necessarily about the imagery. It's about scale.
Okay.
Because, spoiler alert, if you have not read this book, and we've been spoiling it for 13 minutes now, so sorry.
The spookiest number of minutes, Matt.
Until we get to 666 minutes.
God, I hope we're not doing this podcast in 653 minutes.
The thing that gets me about it is, okay, so the big reveal of this book is that God is essentially nihilistic. The torture creature that is responsible for everything that happens to Nameless getting his dick mutilated in here is God. God is in Jabalba. He is merely a combatant in an ancient war between good and evil, and he really has no regard for humanity whatsoever. Which, existentially, is a terrifying thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to relate. I feel like the book doesn't do very much to get you to relate and therefore feel scared.
Yeah.
Because even Nameless is this hyper-knowledgeable expert on sort of the occult, you know, on supernatural kinds of stuff. So he's not a particularly relatable character. The other people on the mission aren't particularly relatable characters.
They're not even particularly, like, characters.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Only the female lead, whose name I don't remember. Chris, you have the book there. You can look it up.
Yeah, is it Jin Zhao, I think, is her name? And then there's also Sophie.
Sophie is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Sophia. Sorry,
yeah, Sophia. Sophia seems like maybe you could relate to her, but then she kind of has these moments where she knows things that Nameless doesn't, and you don't really understand why she knows them. Like, everybody is a little elevated beyond human, you know? And the situations are so huge in scale and so cosmic that I don't, as a reader, ever feel grounded enough to feel scared. And part of effective horror storytelling is that build, you know? We can't just go straight into the blood and guts, the mutilation imagery, the sort of high tension stuff without building to it a little bit and having a little suspense. And this book is basically suspense free. Like, aside from when they're traveling to the asteroid, which does a little suspense building, it's like at 10 from go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I can't feel scared. Instead, I'm just kind of overwhelmed as a reader. Like, I'm just trying to understand it.
Yeah. I think it all makes sense when if you read that back matter, and when Morrison talks about, like, what Nameless is us wanting to do Lovecraft, but not using any of the, frankly, very overdone Cthulhu mythos stuff, like the Traveling of Lovecraft.
And, you know, based in sort of racist
yeah.
ideas from 100 years ago. So obviously, you know, wanting to do Lovecraft without the Lovecraft is, it makes sense.
Yeah. And so instead they look to, like, Polynesian and Mayan legends and traditions, which I think comes off as really interesting. I really enjoyed the fifth planet Marduk that made dinosaurs for a war against God.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, it sort of ends up just being, hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if God was bad?
Yeah. What if God was bad?
Which is like...
Or at the very least, what if God was uncaring?
Yeah. But, like, but God is, like, specifically, like, a monster. And I think if you want an example of kind of how on the nose it gets at a certain point, when we see, like, the being that we on Earth know as God on Earth, it's this roiling kind of, you know, like, I mean, Lovecraftian mass of, like, tentacles and eyeballs. But it's like forming Gothic churches, which is a really, really cool design. And like Burnham, obviously, like it is very nearly like the thing Chris Burnham was meant to draw, right? Like if there were like
yeah.
weird boobs on it, which there might be. I didn't look that closely. And Lord knows there's weird boobs elsewhere in the book. My dude loves weird boobs.
He loves private parts.
He does. That is a very accurate statement about the art of Chris Burnham. Like, I think it's a really interesting image, and it's really, like, interestingly presented, but it's also, like baby's first nihilism. You know, like it's somehow, like, less of a challenging notion to me than what if God had a Hulk, which I really responded to, as you know.
Yeah, I feel like, weirdly enough, we're talking a lot of abstractions here, but if we're going to do the Immortal Hulk comparison, Immortal Hulk is grounded in a lot of places. Immortal Hulk creates a human story. So what if God had a Hulk can have an impact? Whereas Nameless goes really big, really fast. And by the end of it, you're questioning whether Nameless ever went to space at all. You know, whether Nameless ever stepped foot on an asteroid called Xibalba, or whether his consciousness was just totally wrecked by God.
Yeah.
Into thinking all these things happened. And then Sophia ends up, again, spoiler for the end of the book, Sophia ends up killing him to make Xibalba, you know, change its course away from Earth. So, I don't know. I mean, it's got tons of big ideas, which is exactly what you expect from Grant Morrison. It's told in an interesting, if highly obtuse way. Mm-hmm. And it's got exactly the art you want from Chris Burnham. I think this is exactly the book someone wants.
Yes. I think this is the book that they were meaning to tell. I don't think it is a... I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it, honestly. Like, and I feel like part of it is this is the Morrison that everybody doesn't like, right? Like, this is the Morrison that's confusing and, like, difficult to keep up with. And I don't think it's like the usual case with Morrison. I think is like, if you read it and engage with the text, you'll be fine. But I feel like The Invisibles, The Filth, this, like Multiversity, I think is fine. Rock of Ages weirdly gets that reputation. I think Rock of Ages is fine. It's just a fucking time travel story. I don't know why people don't get it. But there are certain Morrison books where I'm like, yes, okay, that is a fair complaint. And this, I think, is the embodiment of it. And I remember someone like talking, you know, obviously Pulp Fiction, big hit, and post Pulp Fiction, like a lot of people wanted to do stories that were told out of order. For instance, the first arc of Black Panther by Priest and Texera is told very studiously out of order. And there are even like references made to Pulp Fiction within the book, so you know what's going on. The question is, like, is your story helped by telling it out of order? I think the disorientation of the reader is intentional, and that comes through with telling the story out of order and kind of like what is really happening. But I don't think it does the story any favors. I think it makes the story hard to follow, and again, removes tension, because to tell a story with tension, you need to tell it in order, because tension comes from consequence. And I think this story does, if not a poor job of that, it does definitely, like, I have no reason to be scared at any point in the story, you know? Like, other than the fact that there is creepy imagery going on. And I still am not sure, having read it and engaged with it and listened to you talk about it, Matt, I don't know what really happened in this story, or if it matters what really happened in this story, or if, you know, if that weird page where there's a bunch of, like, you know, gross sexual assault stuff and people tearing off heads and a dead dog, like, if that happened or not, because I think it did, because we see, like, a post meteor killing the moon consequence of that scene, you know? I don't know, like, this is not the kind of story I enjoy. And this certainly was not an example of a story I enjoy.
Yeah. I think I probably liked it more than you, but it wasn't, even for me, the book I really wanted, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it's the book someone wants.
I mean, I think it's exactly the book Morrison and Burnham want.
It's exactly the book they wanted to make, for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, you talked about the Morrison nobody likes. I don't think that's fair. I think that is a Morrison some readers love. But I think it's a small subset of Morrison fans.
Yeah.
There's a group of Morrison fans who love the weird, obtuse, Invisibles Morrison, We've established that's not exactly our cup of tea, even though I like some weird Morrison books and there's some I like less. I don't think this is like down there with the filth in Morrison work, but among the Morrison stuff that has come out, even within the last like 5 or 6 years, I don't think I would put it among like what I had to revisit first. I don't know that I would revisit it at all, to be quite honest. Like, I think I got out of it what I'm going to get out of it, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. Also, I'm just Googling around, looking for some imagery from this book. Goodreads.com definitely has some mutilated dick imagery in it. I don't know if that's a mistake or people knew exactly what they were putting on Goodreads.com at that moment. Anyway, it's, you know, it's interesting. It's well made. It's not necessarily the book I wanted.
I do feel like this team could have told a much more effective traditional horror comic, and even like a much more effective like Lovecraftian style horror comic, but I don't think that's what they wanted to do. I think they wanted to do something that was like, you know, weird and Lovecraftian and had a bunch of mutilated dicks in it, and they said
what if God is bad.
Yeah, and I don't think it is not a bad version of that, but it is a version of it that I don't care for. Like, I'm very glad to have read it, and I don't want Robert to feel bad for having sent it to us, because obviously, like, I feel like if you are going to send two strangers a book, it's because you like it, right? Like, I think we can safely assume that Robert wanted to hear us talk about it. So either he really likes it or he really fucking hates it.
Yeah, I would assume if he's willing to spend the money on two hardcovers to send to people, that would be an act of someone who really likes a thing.
But I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to this. Simply because, like, partly because it's not my favorite genre. Like, I don't particularly enjoy Lovecraftian fiction in general. There was a time when I was really trying to get into it, like, because, you know, it's a nerd thing that I found out about, and I like parts of it. I like certain ideas in it, but at the end of the day, man, I got the anxiety. Like, I got that feeling of cosmic nihilism and nothing matters and the universe is at best uncaring in general.
Yeah. There are things in this that I love. Like, you're talking to someone whose favorite video game is Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. A Lovecraftian Eldritch horror video game.
Yeah.
About unspeakable monstrosities coming out of a blood disease. And, you know, I love Bloodborne because it is all about these people with noble purposes going too far and unleashing something they can't possibly comprehend. But you understand their human motivations in Bloodborne when you really dig deep into it. And I think there are kernels in this of understanding the human motivations for what, you know, all the characters in this book are doing. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of sublimated. Like possibly the most human character in this whole thing, or the one that you can kind of like most grab onto what they're doing, is the like tech CEO guy, who heads up the whole mission, but you never really see him as a human being. He's always on a drone, and you see that he's actually been dead the whole time and is sort of this manifestation of, you know, a malevolent god. And then you see him die as a human later in the book. Mm-hmm. But, like, the stuff like the Exaxar, which is the sort of impossible floating stone in the weird shape. Like, that's fascinating to me. I want to know more about it. You know, like, there should be a moment. I know Morrison probably hates to do this because it feels like hand holding. Mm-hmm. But if there was a moment where just a little more got explained to the reader, I think this book would be a lot more effective. And I wish it. I know we're kind of falling into the common criticisms of Morrison, but I do think he falls into that trap sometimes. And this is one of the times he actually fell into the trap of being too obtuse.
Yeah, I don't think the on the whole criticism of Morrison as being like overly complicated and like studiously like trying to disorient the reader is out of line. Because I think Morrison frequently tries to disorient the reader because so many of his stories are about disorienting things happening. Like Batman is very disoriented in the run up to Batman RIP. Like, you're not supposed to know if Batmite is a hallucination or if he's a Sheeta or what, you know? Like, but I think this is an example of it, like, being a detriment to the work. I saw somebody on Twitter mention this, and I really, really liked it, and I don't remember who it was, so apologies. But somebody was talking about the difference between – or somebody was talking about Lovecraft, and they said that, like, Lovecraft came to this conclusion that there were, like, unknowable forces, and that we were, like, you know – the specks of cosmic dust, right? And to him, that was horrifying. Like, the futility, you know, it was the futility of existence. And that, you know, these horrible, unknowable things that were kind of beyond good and evil, and these concepts that we could never even understand. And that to Lovecraft, that was horrifying. Almost as horrifying as, say, the existence of black people. And then the counterpoint to that was Kirby. And Kirby says that there are these cosmic forces that exist and are beyond us, but they're also within us, and that it fucking rules. Like, that you know, like, Galactus is a very Lovecraftian idea. God comes to Earth and eats it. And that is a thing that, you know, you read Fantastic Four 50, and, you know, it goes into the collage, and it's like very Lovecraft by way of Kirby. But Kirby's idea is, yeah, so we fight against it. So we, you know, so we do what we can. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, but you have to fight and you have to like embrace it and you have to be who you are and you have to be yourself. Let me be scot-free and find myself. And that is the kind of fundamental difference in those philosophies. And, you know, I'm a Kirby guy, Matt, as you well know, as I believe you probably are as well.
I think that's well said, Chris. Let's rank this story.
Yeah, it is by no means a technically bad comic.
No, not at all. And I don't think it's going to reside in the bottom part of the list. I mean, our lowest ranking Grant Morrison comic as of right now is
gotta be The Filth.
We haven't ranked The Filth.
Oh, have we? It's bad.
the lowest ranking one we currently have is Batman Arkham Asylum at number 920.
You know what? I might like Nameless more than I like Arkham Asylum, because Arkham Asylum is like weirdly nihilistic in the context of Batman. Oh, like it is mistaken. Out of place.
I am mistaken. We have ranked The Filth. It's at number 931. It is lower than Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, The Filth is bad.
I forgot that we ranked it. We did rank it, and it's at number 931.
Yeah, The Filth is so bad that it's one spot above Chuck Austin's Romeo and Juliet, Uncanny X-Men, She Lies with Angels. The Filth is not good. The Filth is a weirdly Alan Moore-ish, grumpy old man comic from a dude who prides himself on not being Alan Moore, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think comparing this to Arkham Asylum, talking about being a story that achieves what it wants to achieve, I think Nameless does a better job of it than Arkham Asylum does.
Yeah.
So I would put it above Arkham Asylum.
I would put it above that as well. And also, like, I know we've talked about him frequently in this, like, in this conversation already, but, like, it is kind of shocking to me that Chris Burnham, maybe because he draws, like, a bunch of comics with dicks in them, I don't know, but it's kind of shocking to me that Burnham isn't, like, in the conversation with Frank Quitely, with Art Adams, with, like, with Dave Gibbons, even. Like, there is a level of, like, expressiveness and detail in Burnham's work. Like, Burnham might be the one of the top five, like, Batman artists of our lifetime. Like, he's so good at drawing, like, weird, complicated stuff. And the way that he does, like, page layouts is, like, really cool.
I think it's almost entirely because of the subject matter of what he's drawing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, because he didn't draw Watchmen. He drew fucking Officer Down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he does, like, truly, like, next level work. Like, if you like Doug Monkey, if you like Art Adams, if you like Frank Quitely, like, you should like Chris Burnham just as much, I think. I love his stuff. Even when it's something that I find, like, personally very distasteful. Like a lady writing a Nokian script in, I guess, poop.
I think that's probably a fair guess as to what that is. How do you think this ranks against, say, Earth X?
I probably enjoy Earth X more because it like works within a, I guess, like a context I like. Like, it speaks a language I like.
Okay.
More, maybe.
It's a bummer,
and it's like, but it's not a grumpy comic, but it's a bummer comic for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the comic where Captain America literally wears the American flag.
As a toga.
Uh-huh.
Because symbols.
Okay. I think it probably might go right below Earth-X, though. Because I think Battle Scars is where we start to get to, like, actively bad. Like, what is this comic doing?
Matt, that's bullshit, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because it's above Maximum Carnage.
Because it's above Maximum Carnage, and Maximum Carnage is good, actually.
I mean, according to our ranking, it's not good, actually.
According to our ranking, it's not at all. And I feel attacked by that. And I probably put it there. I don't know. But, like, I think, like, if I told you, would you rather read 14 issues of Maximum Carnage or 6 issues of Nameless again? I know what side I'm coming down on.
Yeah, I would probably read Maximum Carnage again. Is it better than that Geoff Johns, Richard Donner Superman story? I think that and what's right under that, Spider-Man Torment, Doom, 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 Doom. Those are two stories that I think don't do a great job of trying to do what they have set out to do, that don't accomplish what they mean to accomplish.
I think it's very comparable to Thor Vikings, which we have, like, down under there at 877. But I find, like, even when he's drawing the grossest stuff in the world, I find, like, Chris Burnham's art to be less. This is gonna sound mean, but, like, it's very intentional on his part. I find Glenn Fabry's art to be very repellent, and I think that's on purpose. That's absolutely by design.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It absolutely.
So is. I think it's better than Thor Vikings. I think it's probably. I mean, yeah, like, Torment doesn't do as good a job of being what it wants to be. Last Sun kind of doesn't do as good a job of being what it wants to be. I think you're right. I think right under Maximum Carnage is where it should go.
Entering the list, the new number 871 is Nameless by Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham from Image Comics. Robert, thank you for sending us that book. Thank you to everyone who encouraged us to read this and talk about it in October, despite it not being the poll winner. We will get to the poll winner next month on Comics Catch Up. That's going to be Thor numbers 1 through 8 from 2014. That's the Jane Foster Thor series. We're going to be reading that in November, Chris. That's exciting.
That is exciting. I'm actually really looking forward to that. Most of what we read is digital, but I also I have hardcovers of that too. So I'm looking forward to getting into some good old fashioned tactile comics. And just, you know, just to clarify, particularly for Robert, very much appreciated that you got us this. I did not dislike the experience of reading the comic, even if I thought the comic itself was not quite what I wanted. So thank you for sending it. I always enjoy – there are very few comics that I have not enjoyed the act of reading. And you can hear all about them right here on War Rocket Ajax every week.
All right, everybody. We'll be back next month to talk about some Thor. Thanks for listening to this spooky comics catch-up. Happy Halloween. We'll be back with regular Ajax next week to talk even more about Halloween. Plus, you've got Every Story Ever to look forward to by the end of this month. So stay tuned for all that. Until then, Chris, good catching up.
Yeah, good catching up, Matt.